number 5 tonight, book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5 in the Word of God. And if you're getting familiar with your Bible, the book of 2 Corinthians is towards the back of the book, and it's right after 1 Corinthians, all right? I'll give you a hint. And so you find 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and we'll read the Word of God together here in just a moment. First, we have a solo, but it's going to be a good one, all right? I know it is. And your daddy made it just in time to watch you. He's back there somewhere. Come on.
In the dark of the midnight, I have oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the sky. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Amen. That was very good, and I appreciate that good special tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 in the Word of God, and we'll look at just two verses together, and we'll continue our study that we've been looking at from lessons of forgiveness. And the first lesson that we covered several weeks ago was the lesson of responsibility, and we talked about that we have to own, we have to accept the hurt that we have in our life, and we have to first accept it. We have to take responsibility for it so that we can take the steps to forgive and get right with God, but then right with that person. And then we talked about the lesson of reaction. And this whole series is really just kind of all of the emotions that come and play a part in forgiving someone. And so the lesson of reaction and how we react when we are hurt. And then we talked about the lesson of remembrance and how we are to not necessarily remember what someone did to us, but we are to remember how we have been forgiven so that we can forgive our offender. And then we talked about the lesson of resisting. And then last time we talked about the lesson of retaliating. And not how to retaliate, but why we should not. And so tonight we'll look at another lesson. And we have this one. I think we have about two more maybe that we'll cover after this one. And then we'll wrap up this series. But I've enjoyed studying this. I've enjoyed looking at the Word of God and what God has to say about each of these lessons on forgiveness. And they've been a help to me, and I trust that they are a help to you as well. In verse number 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, the Bible says this, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, notice this, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed us the word of reconciliation. It's a powerful word, isn't it? Reconciliation. And we're going to look at that tonight, the lesson of reconciliation. Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word. Lord, I thank you for how you spoke to my heart through this passage of scripture this week. And so, God, I need your help. Lord, in and of myself, I will fail you. And Lord, I yield myself to you. And Lord, I ask that you would please preach through me. Lord, may the words of my mouth be your words. God, may folks get the help from your book that they need tonight. God, you know each individual need that's represented in this place better than I do. And so, God, I pray that you would please take your word and lodge it deep in our heart. God, help us to apply it to our life. And God, as we consider this subject, very important subject of forgiveness, realizing that forgiveness and reconciliation go hand in hand, would you please help us tonight? I pray. Amen. Forgiveness is more than just letting go of the offense. Forgiveness literally opens the door to something greater, and that greater thing is reconciliation. Now, let me be clear. Forgiveness is a one-way street, but reconciliation is a two-way bridge. And what I mean by that, you can forgive someone without restoring the relationship. But the heart of God is for each and every one of us to get to the point where we can reconcile when possible. In the lesson of reconciliation, we'll look at the example of Christ. The example here is him on the cross. He had a purpose on the cross, a twofold purpose. He forgave, but then he reconciled us to himself so that we could be restored in fellowship with God Almighty. And so I want to look at this subject of lesson of reconciliation. Number one, we see reconciliation begins with God. Notice it in verse number 18. It says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." I'm thankful that God didn't wait for us to get right, aren't you? God, in his mercy, he didn't wait for us to say, "I'm sorry," but while we were yet sinners, the Bible says in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ didn't wait for us to make the first move, but instead, he made the first move on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says in Romans 5:10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." The entire Bible, if you look at the Bible as a whole, it is a story of reconciliation. From Genesis all the way down through the book of Revelation, God is restoring what sin had broken. And I'm thankful for that. And at the center of it all, you find a man named Jesus. He's the bridge between heaven and earth. He's the bridge. He's our mediator. He's our go-between. We could not get to God if it wasn't for the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He absorbed our sin to restore our standing. Before Christ, our life was like a house with broken walls and shattered windows, but Christ didn't just stand on the porch and say he wouldn't do nothing about it, but instead, he stepped into our situation, he changed our life, and truly, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I like what the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, now in verse number 1, I'll turn over there, it says this, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us." That means made alive. "He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." I'm thankful tonight that Jesus Christ on the cross, not only did he forgive us of our sins, but he restored, he reconciled so that we could have a relationship with God Almighty. Reconciliation begins with God. It all begins with God. It begins with Him desiring to restore us who were dead in trespasses and sins to a right relationship with Him. That's an amazing thing to think that God Almighty, the God of this universe, wants to have a relationship with mankind. God desires for us to commune with Him. He desires for us to talk with Him. He desires for us to walk with Him every single day that we live. And the only way that we could have that relationship is if Jesus died on the cross so that we could be reconciled to Him. Do you see the importance of reconciliation? Oh, it's important, yes, in our day-to-day life, and we'll get to that, but we can reconcile with others because we were first reconciled by Jesus Christ. What a blessing. And so reconciliation begins with God, but number two, quickly, reconciliation is a ministry, not a mood. Reconciliation is a ministry, not a mood. Look at the verse number 18. And the Bible says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." He not only reconciled us to Him, He then handed us an assignment, and He says, "Now you go do the same." You see, forgiveness isn't just personal. It has a mission behind it. It's not just for your healing and for your betterment in life. It's for the honor and the glory of God Almighty. Reconciliation is not something we have to wait to feel. That's sometimes where I think we get confused. That's why it's not a mood that we get in. Well, I feel like it's just time. No. It's not a mood. It's a ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us to act upon. It's something we've been called to live. You know, and the world is filled with broken marriages and divided churches and fractured friendships and wounded families because we fail to act on the ministry of reconciliation. God says, "You've been reconciled. Now you go be the reconciler." You don't need some special title. You don't need the pastor, the title of pastor or assistant pastor or Sunday school teacher or bus captain or piano player or organ player or choir director. You don't need any of those titles to be a reconciler. You're a child of the living God. And if you're a child of God, you've been reconciled, you've been forgiven, and we're thankful for that. But because we have been reconciled to our Heavenly Father, we now have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And so reconciliation begins with God. It's a ministry, not a mood. But third of all, I want you to notice this. Reconciliation doesn't keep score. It doesn't keep score. In verse number 19, notice it with me in the text, it says, "To wit, that God as in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself," notice this phrase, "not imputing their trespasses unto them." You know who He's talking about? Me and you. He's not keeping score. He's not forgiving us, but then dangling it over our head. "Hey, remember what I forgave you about? Remember what I died on the cross for you about?" No. He's forgiven and He has also forgotten. "As far as the east is from the west, so hath He removed our transgressions from us." And if God Almighty is not wanting to keep score, then who are we to think that we should be keeping score as well? True reconciliation means this: I stop bringing up what God has already buried. It means I let go of the record so that I can heal the relationship. The old account was settled long ago. The record's cleared today, for He washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. Aren't you thankful your sin account was forgiven long ago and reconciled long ago? Why are we holding on to somebody else's? You see the double standard here? Oh, well, that's already cleared today for me and my sin, but I can't forgive and reconcile with that person that hurt me in this life. Reconciliation doesn't keep score, though. You know what it does? You know what's whenever you try to keep score in a relationship, it's like you got a wound that's healing over, and it's doing real good, and you try to keep the score, then you rip the scab right off again. And then what happens? It gets all bleedy and bloody and nasty and just gross. That's what happens in our relationships. We forgive, but then when we try to hold it over, we refuse to reconcile, and we open it back up. And just as a wound gets gross and nasty, that's what happens to your life. It gets gross and nasty again. Doesn't have time to heal. You know, reconciliation is saying this: I choose the relationship over the revenge that I could use. I choose the relationship over the revenge that I can use. It does not work to keep the score. To forgive and then to hold it over. What's the old saying? You bury the hatchet, but you keep up the handle in case you need to use it sometime. You know, that's how we live our lives a lot of times, though. We do. Somebody hurts us, somebody does us wrong, and we may forgive them, but we refuse to reconcile because we want to have the upper hand. We want to level the score if we need to. We want to keep the score in our favor. It's the truth. We've got to have the upper hand. But reconciliation says, you win, I win, it don't matter who wins because I know what God's done for me. And I was hurt. You were hurt. But we've both been forgiven by God Almighty, and who are we to hold the score? Because he doesn't keep up with it. Reconciliation doesn't keep the score. Let me say number four quickly. Reconciliation requires humility, but it also has risk. You see, reconciliation is not something that's easy tonight. Everything in this whole study has not been easy. When you choose to forgive and you choose to reconcile, it means you have tough conversations. It means you listen more than you speak. It means you become vulnerable and you admit your part in the situation. And ultimately, you're putting yourself out there to be hurt again when you choose to reconcile. But can I tell you from personal experience, the reward is far greater than the risk. You see, Jesus died so that we would even have a possibility at reconciling with one another. He's the one that made it all possible for each and every one of us. And when we pursue peace, we walk literally in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And are we not to be more like him? That's our whole goal, is to be like Christ. The Bible says, Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And when we pursue peace, our Heavenly Father looks down and says, that's my child. They're not perfect, but they're working at it. They may get mad all over again, but they know what is right, and they are choosing to forgive and working towards reconciliation. Now, let me say this. Reconciliation does not always mean that the relationship is restored to the same closeness. Okay, I understand that. Not saying that somebody can go and do something so great and hurt you and then all of a sudden all of the boundaries are off and it's all back to normal. I'm not saying that's the case. But most of the time, we can do far better than we do. Sometimes boundaries are needed. Sometimes trust takes time to rebuild. Sometimes it's good to live at a distance. Amen? You got to have a little buffer. But reconciliation means this: the wall is torn down. It means the grudge is gone. And you know what it ultimately means? I'm not their enemy. I'm not being so consumed with making sure their life is miserable. I'm not living every day thinking about what they did to me. No, I've forgiven them. I have reconciled with them. I have a boundary in place to where I can't be as close as maybe we once were, but I'm not their enemy. And I'm also not running around making sure everybody else is their enemy as well. Reconciliation, it requires humility. We've got to humble ourselves. Like Jesus, humble ourselves and take the risk of potentially being hurt again. But let me give you the last thought tonight, and that is this. Reconciliation truly reflects the heart of God. Look at verse number 19 again. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, thank the Lord, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. This is the very heart of God, to restore that which was broken, to repair that which was lost, to bring back that which wandered away. When we forgive and we pursue reconciliation, we not only are obeying our Heavenly Father, we also look like Him. Colossians 3:13 says this, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know, two hands can't shake unless they both reach out. It's impossibility. You believe that? Can't shake. Some of you don't look like you believe that. Come here, Zeki. Come here. They don't believe me. They're looking at me like they don't believe me. Can you shake my seat? Oh. What did he just do? He reached out. Now try it again. Oh. He reached out. Me reaching out is forgiveness. Him reaching back, reconciliation. Try it again. Help. Reconciliation. But, okay, me shake, you don't come back. I've forgiven, okay? I made the step. I'm forgiven. He may not reconcile, but I still am an example of Christ. To him, to all of you, he may not choose to reconcile. He may not choose to forgive, but I am the example of Christ. I'm trying to be like my Heavenly Father. You understand, church? You can't shake. You can't forgive without, you can't reconcile without the other person reaching out. I get it. But when they do, you ought to be willing to shake their hand. I'm not your enemy. There's no wall up against us. I don't have to fight like this. You can go have a seat. Thank you, Zeki. I don't know if he wanted, he didn't know what was next. The lesson of reconciliation teaches us, church, this. To reconcile is to be like Christ. And he's given us this ministry. It's not a mood that we feel, well, I feel like it's time to reconcile. I feel like it's time to forgive. No. It's a ministry. We're his child. He's our Heavenly Father. And when we reconcile, we reflect the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question tonight is this. Who in your life, do you need to forgive? Who do you need to reconcile with? Maybe you've forgiven, but you haven't reconciled. Is there somebody that you need to reconcile with? And it may not be the same, but they don't have to be your enemy. When we reconcile with others, we walk in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who reconciled the world to himself, not with his words, but with a cross. You reconcile by taking action. It's one thing to say, I forgive them and I'm not their enemy. It's another thing to put action to it. He did by dying on the cross. We need to in our life as well. And so I ask you tonight, as we consider this lesson number 6, who is it? Who is it in your life that you need to reconcile with? You see, these lessons on forgiveness, they really don't do us any good if we just take in the information. The only way that I can relay these truths to you is because I've had to study the Word of God and I've had to act on what I've learned. And so we have to act on what we learn. It's not just information. It is bringing us to a point of decision. Will we now do with what we learn? Will we act? Take advantage of it. The lesson of reconciliation. Our Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for the truth of your word. God, I thank you for how you spoke to my heart through this passage of scripture. And God, you know my heart, Lord, very clearly tonight. I want to be one that forgives, but Lord, I also want to be one that takes the steps of reconciliation. God, I don't want to have enemies, more enemies, Lord. I want to mend relationships. Lord, I want to build the bridge. God, I don't want to let pride sneak in and allow the devil to get an advantage in my life to where I can't be used by you. But God, I want to forgive so that you can get the maximum glory. Realizing first that you forgave me on the cross of Calvary. You reconciled me so that I can have a relationship with God Almighty. And God, if you're willing to do that for me, Lord, I would think that I could come up with somehow in my life that I could do that to the ones that hurt me along the way. God, would you help us at First Baptist Church to be reconcilers, to be forgivers, to be ones that will reach the hand out, that we can be forgiven. We can also reconcile others that hurt us. I pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord, to examine our life. Lord, if you lay somebody on our heart, Lord, you probably already have. The Holy Spirit of God is able to do that. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take action these days, Lord, so that we can begin the reconciliation process. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. We'll have a moment of invitation. I encourage you to come tonight. The Lord spoke to you.